In February of 2001, FBI agent Robert Hansen was arrested in what's been described as one of the worst cases of espionage ever against the United States. And one of the key people who helped capture Hansen was a young FBI operative.
Eric O'Neill was that young FBI operative who was assigned to spy on Hansen as Hansen was divulging top secret material to the Russians.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
More than 18 years ago, Robert Hansen was exposed to be a Russian spy.
O'Neill says there was no hiding.
I had to come out of the shadows, and instead of being behind a lens, I'd be face to face with the guy. And as I was in front of his bag, drop him in there, a quick sign of the cross, and run, run back to my desk.
Hansen would eventually be arrested near his home in Vienna, Virginia, a moment captured on FBI video. It would be after the arrest when Hansen would realize O'Neill was working against him all along.
Wow, I can't believe this story's like 20 plus years ago. I remember in the moment that I saw his picture in the book, A Spy in Plain Sight, it instantly came back to me. Could never forget that face. Completely selling out the United States of America and her book. She's a former federal prosecutor. She's a legal analyst with NPR, NBC, CNN, a legal analyst reporter in the past with Fox. Boy, that's a resume. Author of the new book, A Spy in Plain Sight, Lise Will. Lise, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's great to be with you. What's going on in Fresno?
What is going on in Fresno? We're getting ready for 3, 4, 5 months here of intense heat. I was just outside talking to my boss about it. It's coming. What's going on where you live? Where do you live, Lise?
Well, I live in California, but I'm on the East Coast to do this promotion, you know, for the book, and I'm sitting in Connecticut, and it's cold, and it's rainy, and I miss California.
Well, you'll get back here, and you'll realize that a lot of people are leaving, but, you know, there's a lot of good still here in California,
sure.
And there's people that are going to fight for it, and I talk to people, and the reason that they go, no, I'm not going to move to Texas or Florida or Tennessee is the soil goes back in their families, especially here with ag in the valley, you know, their great granddad.
Sure.
It's a lot harder to uproot. But this story, Lise, like I said, everybody almost would remember his face, Robert Hansen. You were the daughter of an FBI agent, so you had a little
right.
bit of insight into this. What were your boyfriends in high school like? A little intimidated by dad?
Oh, yeah. You know, the dad made sure they knew that he was an FBI agent. And, you know, maybe that's why I didn't have boyfriends in high school. I'm just figuring that out.
That's it. That's it. Yeah, you wouldn't want to come over and pick you up for the prom. Have her back by 10. I'll have her back at 7:30, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, let's talk about the factors for this American. It always blows my mind. Was it the Rosenbergs? Am I remembering that right in the 50s?
Yeah, Rosenberg.
Yeah, and they lost their lives.
They were executed. Well, espionage is a capital punishment, you know, crime. And the only reason that Hansen didn't get it is because the government at the time decided that it was more important to get the information that he had given out to the Russians and try to get intel from him. So they cut a deal. I mean, not that he's living in a life of lap of luxury. I mean, he's in Florence, Colorado, in a Supermax, along with the Unabomber and El Chapo and people like that. And he's under 23 hours solitary confinement. So he only gets out 1 hour a day, which is fine with me.
Yeah,
the guy should not have it good.
No, I'm for 24 hours, horse meat and water. That's all they get. What was this guy? You know, the FBI profiles, they can tell by almost how sometimes the crime was done. They can almost tell you what the individual who did it was like. What was this Hansen? What was his personality like, his profile?
You know, he wasn't liked by the FBI agents, his colleagues. He was kind of a dour guy. They called him the mortician, kind of creepy, always wearing black, didn't kind of join in with his colleagues and everything. And FBI agents, by and large, are kind of, you know, when they're off work, they want to have fun and enjoy themselves. And you know, Hansen was not like that. And so I think that was one of his motivations, is he was a disgruntled employee. You know, he didn't think he was appreciated enough, wasn't loved enough at the FBI, you know, because, of course, he was the smartest guy in the room, right? So he thought. And whereas the Russians, you know, sent him flowery letters and money, of course, but, you know, they were very familial with him and loved him, you know, and they played him. But he was seeking that. He was seeking attention, and he was seeking acceptance that he didn't think he got from the FBI.
So his personality, he felt slighted in some
exactly.
form. Now that exactly. isn't that risky if you're a Russian, like to go up to a guy like Slighted Robert and be like, "Hey, you're not too happy with your current job. I got an idea for you." You know, it's not.
Yeah, but it's worse than that though, because Hansen approached the Russians. They didn't come to him. He was barely in the FBI under a year. And he sends a letter to the guy named Cherkashin, who becomes his Russian handler, saying, "Hey, you know, I'm here." He doesn't identify who he is, but he says, "I have this info for you." And the info was good info for the Russians. It was about one of our major Russian assets, you know, a person on the ground that was giving us intel. And he said, "This is who this guy is." So, of course, the Russians took the info and rounded the guy up and executed him in a really horrible way that they put on video to make sure that nobody else would do that again. You know, so Hansen, from the start, was giving over the Russians solid information that got people killed, our assets killed in Russia, and all sorts of secrets. I mean, 20 years at the top level of the counter-espionage unit in, you know, Russia, specifically, if I can say it. So he had a lot of information to give over to them and sell.
Counter espionage, and he was really high up the chain. What kind of secrets went to the Russians?
Well, everything, including some of our nuclear plans, including where the president and the vice president would be in case of a nuclear disaster, for example. I mean,
he should have been killed. He should have been executed for that.
I know. I mean, it's a controversy, and it was at the time as well.
I remember.
But the thought was, yeah.
I watched recently, and by recently in the last year or so, that's why it's not really top of mind, but the Rosenberg documentary, that right. kind of split America. Well, I don't know if completely, but there were a lot of people on the side of the Rosenberg saying they didn't deserve to die, and or especially his wife didn't. Now, was Hansen, he had a wife, right?
Bonnie, yes. And, you know, devout Catholic, both of them. In fact, Hansen converted to Catholicism when they got married. And Bonnie, it's kind of weird. She went early into the spying. She discovered in a sock drawer a bunch of cash. And she confronts Hansen because she thinks that maybe he's cheating on her and this is the money that, you know, he's using to support his mistress. And he says, basically, no, I'm not cheating on you. I'm just spying for the Russians. And so they go to the priest, their family priest, and the priest says, well, that's bad. You know, don't do that again. But I'll absolve you of it if you just give over the money that you've made from the Russians to the church, which Hansen did.
What? I did not.
You cannot make this stuff up, which Hansen did. And then he stopped spying for a bit and started up again. You know, but that's awful. I'm sorry. I think, you know, I'm sorry, but the priest should not have done that.
I know I'm not going to act like you're an authority on Catholicism, and I'm not either, but I always thought if you went in and said, like, "Hey, I'm a priest, I'm going to murder somebody," or "I did, I'm the one that slaughtered," I thought they're obligated for something like that, aren't they?
Well, especially with, I mean, I know lawyers are, right? I mean, even if you have attorney-client privilege, if you're talking about an ongoing crime, a lawyer has a duty to report that, right? And this at the time, the priest had no idea that this was going to stop it. And it was, you know, and it was an ongoing crime. So I'm not an expert in Catholicism either. It just seems like common sense would dictate that something would be done about it.
Especially to say give the money to the church instead.
Exactly. Thank you. Finish my sentence. Especially that. I mean, you know, come on. That doesn't seem right.
How much did the Russians, how much did Hansen over those 2 decades, how much did he bank?
You know, okay, let me put it this way. Less than the $7 million that was paid to the Russian that finally told us, gave us information on who Hansen was, handed over a tape recording between Hansen and his handler. And so they were able to, the FBI was able to say, recognize his voice and say, that's Hansen. That guy got paid $7 million, which I confirmed in my research. and is now in the U.S. with his family under witness protection. So less than the $7 million that it took to bring him down.
A $7 million cassette recording. Boy, that's the most expensive cassette ever, right?
That's right. And we estimate that we lost $10 billion worth of information, you know, to the Russians. But I don't think you could put a dollar figure on the people that were executed because of what Hansen did.
Yeah. American assets in Russia. But, you know, this is, it's been decades during the whole Cold War. And wasn't there a movie out about this? Was there?
Yeah, Breach years ago, which is a good movie, but I don't think it goes in as much depth as I was able to get. I mean, obviously, it's
Right. You read a book, you watch the movie, and you're like, you feel a little bit left, you know, a little empty that they didn't cover everything that you knew about.
Exactly.
Now,
wait a second. I'm the smartest guy in the room.
Hey, Lise, let me a spy in plain sight. When you were writing it, were there a lot of people that just hung up on you? No, I don't want to talk. Click.
Well, it would have been that way if I were, quote unquote, a normal journalist. But I had a couple of good factors going with me. One, my dad, being a former FBI agent. And two, being a former federal prosecutor. So I'm in the federal family, as we call it, which sounds kind of like mafia. I don't mean it like that. But, you know, you're a member of the family. You know what FBI agents do. You're part of that. And I worked with FBI agents. So, and I'd written a book about the Unabomber and the FBI's, you know, finally capturing the Unabomber. And I treated the FBI fairly, I thought, and they thought so as well. So, and so that, and also I wrote during the pandemic, and people had more time on their hands. So I was able to get in touch with, you know, his brother-in-law, his psychiatrist, his oldest and best friends, all the agents and officers that were involved in this takedown and who worked with him. And the FBI kindly even sent out a newsletter in their kind of internal monthly newsletter saying, this is who I am, and she's working on this book. You know, it's okay for you to talk to her. So that really helped me out. All those things did.
Now, you're in the Soprano family. where are the Russian spies in America today? I know you would tell if you knew, but, I mean, is it still as big a problem as it used to be? I guess do we know?
We don't know for sure, but here's what I do know. All those sources, top level, I mean, the highest level at the FBI and the CIA, past and present, when I asked them, and I did in every single interview, I said, could there be another Hansen today? And to a person, they said yes. And then, unprompted by me, many of them went on to say, and there probably already is. Yeah, pretty chilling.
I would probably think that it's kind of like at all times there's probably some investigations where maybe they turn out to not be, but you know, hints of it. Hey, has there ever been anybody else in the Federal Bureau of Investigations that's been popped like Hansen?
Not like Hansen, not at that kind of big level. The CIA has had more spies, and so that's why I think they looked at the CIA first when they were doing this mole hunt. But no, never as bad as Hansen. But you know, the fact is it could be done now, and now it would be, you know, cyber stuff, right? Because during Hansen's era, he had to go out to a Xerox machine and copy everything off and take it out of his briefcase. Now an agent would just be able to put something into the cloud and walk out of there, and you'd never know the difference.
Yeah, I heard some audio of the agent that was actually the one working against him, but along with him, saying he didn't know if he...
O'Neill,
didn't know if he put it back in the right spot. You know, it's just like straight out of like Hollywood movies, but this was a real life situation. Now, it's your book. I'm sure it's not available in Russia with all the sanctions, but it is here. Where can they get it, Lise?
Oh, you can go to Amazon, you can go to Barnes & Noble, you can go to my website, leasewheelbooks.com, any of those fine bookstores or independent bookstores. So, yeah, go get it. It's not just, and I try, you know, I write fiction as well, so I tried to write it kind of in a thriller-esque way where you have short chapters, it moves quickly, and you're hopefully, you know, excited to get to the next chapter because you never know what you're going to find.
Is writer's block real, or do they over-dramatize that?
No, it's real. It happens, absolutely. But, you know, writing is a lot of what I call sit your buns in the chair kind of thing. I mean, it's just discipline. You know, you just have to spend the time and do the work.
Like going to the gym and working out. You're not going to have success unless you go make yourself go do it. Well, Lise, thank you for the book. I'm just a few pages in. I've been reading Dr. Victor Davis Hanson's. Right when I'm done with that, I'm jumping fully, though, into A Spy in Plain Sight, because that any kind of law enforcement, FBI, anything spy, I think is just fascinating, because it's such a world that we very rarely get glimpses into. So thank you for writing it and exposing this horrible American, and good to hear he's in confinement 23 hours a day, and the only guy he gets to head nod to is El Chapo.
Yeah, and the Unabomber.
It's and the Unabomber. I heard you say, right? You did say you wrote a book about the Unabomber, too, right?
I did. That came out a couple of years ago. And so the irony that they're both in there together. I mean, can you imagine being a fly on the wall to those kind of conversations with Hanson and the Unabomber and El Chapo?
I'm surprised Discovery or History Channel doesn't have a reality show about them. In there, right? Could you imagine? Lise, thank you so much. Hey, we appreciate your time on the show, and thank you for all the hard work that you did. Have a good weekend.
You got it. You as well. Take care.
You betcha. Spy in Plain Sight. She said you can get it at leasewheelbooks.com as well. Well, indeed. Cameras on our corners. Where are they going to be? Well, with all the street vendors, who's paying for the cameras? The taxpayers are. We'll talk about it next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Hey, coming up 5 o'clock, we're going to talk about California Assembly Bill 2223, and it's about perinatal. And that's 1 to 4 weeks after birth. And we're going to be talking about this new California pro-abortion law that actually threatens babies already born. I know you're going, no way. Yes way. We'll be talking with Jonathan Keller, California Family Council. And at 5:30, he represents the 26th District, Assemblyman Devin Mathis. We're going to talk about Diablo Canyon, his op-ed, Problem or Solution, and also with the water. We need to change the name, nuclear power. That's what scares people. Nuclear, they picture Chernobyl, right? Chernobyl. ABC30.com says flowers and gifts will soon appear for sale on Fresno streets as local vendors get ready for the busy Mother's Day weekend. Yes, you always see all of that out for some of the, we'll call it maybe last minute folks that forgot something for mom, or maybe you've already gotten her something. You're on your way over to have dinner with her or lunch with her, and you go, oh, I'll pick and get some flowers, right? But they're going to have new technology now. We've had some horrible crimes that have happened here with street vendors. Well, one guy just flat out just shot to death right there. These surveillance cameras that they're going to have for the street vendors are solar powered. They're part of a safety solution that they say will deter criminals and catch them if they do the strike. City Council member Luis Chavez said the footage is automatically uploaded into the cloud. They control it with their handheld device. He said their family members at home have access to the images. You weren't at work. I watched you. Right? If you're at work, do you want everybody at home just seeing you at work? I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. But I guess maybe if you got a camera, you're not going to have a choice. They said they know exactly where they are if there's an issue or if somebody tries to rob them. The cameras are free to vendors, made possible through the federal small business funding. That would be taxpayer money. By 2023, all 200 of Fresno Street vendors will have the technology. Okay, I get it. I get it. It's, guys, think about this. It's, why are they just picking that business, that industry, right? It's going to help police solve crimes. Think about 200 cameras roaming the streets, and let's be real, they're in some high crime areas, right? A shooting happened on the corner of, I don't know, Bullet and Blood Street. The shooter drove south on Blood Street in a red Toyota SUV. Good, we got vendor cameras all along Blood Street. Let's go look for a license plate number. Because I watch enough on TV of the real life ones, makes me just an amateur watcher of crime shows on TV. But detectives, they got to get a hold of the Dunkin' Donuts, right, that had a camera out front because the red SUV drove by there. They talked to the manager at Dunkin' Donuts. He goes back there. He goes, well, it hadn't worked in a few months. you know, they find roadblocks all the way like that with some of these cameras that don't work. Or the camera was up there, but it had, you know, something smeared on the front of the lens and it was all blurry. I've heard of that happening as well. A lot of them don't work, but they can just now go to the cloud and start looking. Am I right? I would think I'm right on this. I mean, is this the real reason that it's happening? Because if it's not, then what about other businesses? Will the city help them with taxpayer money get security cameras, right? Because other people get robbed, right? But I think that's the reasoning. And I think that makes sense. And I think it will actually help crime, right? And maybe it was the way to get it through the federal small business funding. As opposed to the city budget to put up CCTV 200 cameras around town and link it all to the cloud, right? So we'll see how that works out. And there was a time, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, where as a Republican conservative, I was 100% against the seeing eye big brother everywhere. I'd always rip on London for all the CCTV cameras that they have and how dare they. But guess what? Crime's gotten so bad, changed my mind. Parents, the internet is powerful, right? And there's a lot of good stuff that happens on the old Al Gore WWW, but it's also very dangerous. Surveys show parents actually lie to yourself about what your kids are doing on screen and how much time they're actually spending. Is it strangers online? I didn't know kids could get paid for TikTok videos of them dancing around. You can actually get paid for that. And strangers are paying them. Let me tell you about it next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Jonathan Keller, California Family Council, is going to be on the show 5 o'clock. We're going to talk about Assembly Bill 2223. It's a new California pro-abortion law. Oh, yeah, they're coming out with them every minute. And at 5:30, we'll talk with Assemblyman Devin Mathis over nuclear energy and water. Don't mix the two. Disney has adopted a benefits program that's going to subsidize out-of-state abortions for employees and support same-sex change operations for their minor children. So I guess pretty soon here, because you know what, Florida, the way they'll go if Roe v. Wade is changed and given back to the states, like our constitutional republic actually provides for the democratic process of democracy where we vote for the laws that we want. Correct? Correct. So pretty soon it'll be like, oh, so you're here from Florida. What's going on? Oh, you're going to work to pay taxes, to pay for my family and I to stay here at the beautiful Marriott. We're out at the pool, and I'm going in to kill their brother or their sister. I didn't even bother to check. And that's why I'm here. Thank you. The Hotel California. It's the abortion pipeline. Come on in. If Colorado doesn't snag them with a better deal, we'll probably start competing, right? Right now, we'll pay for everything. Maybe Colorado would up it. Hey, we'll give you $1,000 if you come here to Colorado to abort your baby. Tesla's going to cover travel costs for employees seeking out-of-state abortions. File this one under, like what Elon Musk has stated. I do like what he has said. Under the don't trust category. Case in point, right? I remember the day Agent Squires came in, he's like, I don't know, we can trust this Tesla guy, right? And I was like, you know what? Keep talking. And we talked about it. And we talked it out. And I think we came to the decision that we like what he's saying. And I was like, I like, you know, like what Bill Maher says. I stand behind a lot of what he stated lately. But it doesn't mean I trust. And that's okay. We can have freedom of speech and not trust the person that's allowing us to have that freedom of speech. So I'm glad he's taken over Twitter. But Tesla's now going to cover travel costs for workers seeking abortions. That should tell you a little bit where. So don't rush out yet and put Elon Musk on your Christmas card list quite yet, right? Joy Pullman at The Federalist, she had an article today, caught my eye. It said parents should never let children have unsupervised internet access, period. Well, how am I ever going to have any free time? I have to send them away and say, get online, right? This mom, she's a mother of six, Joy Pullman, and I read her a lot at the Federalist. She's a good writer. Has she been on? I was thinking the name sounds very familiar. Has she been on? It's like, I don't know if it's familiar because we've interviewed her. She said, I made a huge mistake this week. I allowed my children to click on the next video in YouTube after they watch a classic cartoon for their weekly movie night. She's talking about how they filter the internet, but she says even perverts use the cartoon images, she said, to get around the protection. And I know many families, they keep all their devices, anything hooked up online, and it's in a, you know, like in the kitchen or in a den somewhere like that. She said the reality that the internet is a wretched hive of scum. She said my husband and I are unashamed internet Nazis. Forbes article was titled, very bluntly, How TikTok Live Became a Strip Club Filled with 15-Year-Olds. And I had no idea. Almost half of minors in the U.S. use TikTok at least once a day. So I guess TikTok has a lot of videos of dance routines. And they said beneath the surface, this is Joy Pullman writing, she said, is a cash cow. Money and gifts are sent by adults to the minors. And said law enforcement experts told Forbes that such activity on live streams, it is a great pipeline for these predators to groom the targets for online or offline sexual abuse and sextortion. Ah, okay. They're warning, they said that so much access on TikTok is directly into teenage girls' bedrooms and bathrooms. They said that's where most of the streaming actually occurs. They said girls as young as 12 and 14 can make serious cash. Had no idea. Posing, they said, sending pictures of their feet, exposing their bodies for the phone camera. They said it's illegal. And TikTok's statement to Forbes magazine stated the company works to stop this as soon as possible. They try and catch it, but they said it's clear even if the company does its best, it can't whack underage live streams fast enough to protect kids without exception, they said. And they said most parents, this Forbes magazine and Joy Pullman at the Federalist stated, that most parents are oblivious to the harm allowing kids access to the internet unsupervised. And you think about it, you know, get your kid a smartphone or a tablet or anything connected, even gaming systems. And, you know, an 8-year-old, they said 8 to 12-year-olds, excuse me, use screens for entertainment more than 5 hours a day. That's 35 hours a week. That's almost a full-time job. That's 8 to 12-year-olds. They said among teens age 13 to 18, daily entertainment screen use is more than 8 hours a day. That's 56 hours a week, purely just for entertainment. That's why the NFL has to run public service announcements saying, play 60. That's why when you drive around, and I would think, well, it's just really hot out. That's why in the summer there's not a lot of kids. Man, we used to play in the heat and the humidity and the desert and all of that. You don't see them outside. You don't. That's because 56 hours a week. They said the typical age a child gets unsupervised internet access via a cell phone now is 12. That's access to every pit of hell that you could unleash. Homeland Security child sex abuse agent said parents he speaks with are not aware of what's happening on the live streams. This is from this article. They said the money exchange takes the form of fun pictures, as in the case of TikTok. It makes what's really going on even easier to miss. Tokens or flowers or stupid little emojis, he says. This is the Homeland Security child sex abuse agent, Austin Barrier. He says it doesn't click in a kid's head. They think they're it doesn't click that they're actually being paid. It doesn't click like that, and the parents don't really stop and think and say, oh, somebody's paying my kid to dance. They're getting these little flowers and these little hearts. He said, you're not realizing, parents aren't realizing what is actually going on. So check TikTok. If you're if your 14-year-old daughter suddenly seems to have a little bit of extra money and you just think, oh, she's just in there dancing with her friends with TikTok and they share the videos, right? And I probably 95% of it, that's what it is. It's harmless. But we're hearing too much now. That's in that 5% category, and I just made that percentage up, right? To say that no, not everything is nefarious going on. There's not prostitution on TikTok, but it seems like they're actually is turning into it. They said surveys, this is Forbes, show that parents lie to themselves about what their kids are doing on screen and how much time they spend engrossed with strangers online through these devices. Think of it that way, that when you're in the living room and they're dancing in the bedroom, that they're streaming it and dancing to strangers. Hey, girls, what you up to in here, right? As Sheriff Mims always says, you're not their friend, you're their parent. Go in there and check those devices. What was the story? Was it... where was he? Was it Northern California, Sacramento, that guy that was just recently busted for like, what was it, 60, 80 little kids around the world? He got siblings to do sex acts with each other. And this is just in the last 10 days here in California, this guy was caught. Well, it seems like somebody at Bullard there, right, dressed up like a KKK, Ku Klux Klan member. Crescent Unified investigating why this actually went down. Controversial picture taken at Bullard High, and students left school, went downtown, protested, and marched over the picture. We'll talk more about it next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
California Assembly Bill 2223. It's a brand new pro-abortion law that's even going to threaten babies already born. If you don't believe me, Jonathan Keller, California Family Council, he's going to be on the show 5 o'clock here. A controversial picture, ABC 30's reporting, that was taken at Bullard, posted on social media, could result in disciplinary action for those that are involved. It has been shared hundreds of times. It was taken in Bullard's weight room, according to Terry Sladek here, quoted in ABC 30. FUSD released, "We are aware, actively investigating appropriate disciplinary actions being taken for those involved. We are providing extra support for students and staff." It was a picture of a somebody, you can't tell, just like the former governor of Virginia, right? You couldn't tell if that was him under the hood. It was a KKK hood, a pointy white hood. We've all seen it.
It's racist.
Exactly. I agree with you, Al. Now, yeah, see, that's racism. That's actually racist to wear a KKK hood. You know what you're symbolizing? Families asleep in 1932 in their house. Four little kids asleep in one bed, mom and dad asleep in another bed in Tupelo, Mississippi, and suddenly the mom wakes up, shakes her husband, what, he's snoring, and they're outside, and you look, and it's guys on horses with the KKK hoods and torches, and they light their barn on fire, or might even light the house on fire, might even shoot and kill them. There were different degrees of punishment that the Democrat, that the KKK handed out in the South and other areas. I mean, Muskogee, Illinois in the 70s, there was a KKK march. I mean, sure, it's been around, right? You need to go watch, well, 2,000 Mules this weekend, 5 o'clock tomorrow. The online big release is out there. Go to 2000mules.com. But Dinesh D'Souza goes back with Hillary's America. And, I mean, just so excellent how he just portrayed the reality of history and how the Democratic Party was rooted in the KKK. And every black congressman after the Civil War, when they were allowed to serve and, you know, elected in their area, were all Republicans, all Republicans. Anyhow, back to back to Fresno and our KKK story. Fresno Mayor Jerry Dyer released a statement saying, "It's disturbing to know that a student would stoop to the level of making such a racially inflammatory social media post. I have absolutely no tolerance for this type of behavior. If it serves to divide the community, encounters the one Fresno motto." So what about the images that you have seen that's happening to Adventure Church? Is that inflammatory? Do you have tolerance for that type of behavior? Evidently. All right, here we go. Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg have threatened this.
Women in the world have conducted sex strikes in history. In 2003, a sex strike helped to end Liberia's brutal civil war. And the woman who started it was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. In 2009, Kenyan women enforced a sex ban until political infighting ceased. Within 1 week, there was a stable government.
Well, we got it all figured out now. That's how they're going to change the Supreme Court justices. I mean, because that's what they're fighting for, right? To overturn the overturn, the possible overturn of the overturn of Roe v. Wade and sending it back to the states. That's what they're going to do? Threatening a sex strike? Ted Danson's probably going, I went on one of those before. Remember Whoopi and Ted Danson? Were they married or were they just a Hollywood couple? It doesn't matter. Whoopi has actually admitted, and I didn't know this until today, with her tirade that I played you yesterday, where she was just smoke coming out her ears over this. Whoopi has stated for the record she had 7 abortions before the age of 25. So I don't think we call that family planning. I think we call that birth control. And I knew it. 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 So, sex strike is on. If you're a California Democrat woman that loves to watch the Coven on ABC, go along with them. Yeah, that's really going to help. I'm sure that's going to get a lot of Democrat husbands to go, I'm not going to vote Republican now. Probably actually make them vote Republican. The White House will not condemn the leak of the draft, and they won't condemn right now. There's talk of Mother's Day and Catholic churches being protested by the rabid pro-abortion crowd out there. And as we've seen right now, the Supreme Court of the United States, they're actually giving out maps. Ducey talked to Psaki. She's not going to be there that much long, is she?
Abortion activists are organizing protests at 6 private residences of Supreme Court justices marked on a map published on their website. Calling themselves Ruth Sent Us as a nod to the late Justice Ginsburg, organizers write, announcing walk by Wednesday, May 11th, 2022 at the homes of the 6 extremist justices, 3 in Virginia and 3 in Maryland. If you'd like to join or lead a peaceful protest, let us know. The group's financial backers are unknown for now, but they are offering to pay people to show up, advertising stipends available. A new non-scalable fence now surrounding the Supreme Court isn't enough for concerned lawmakers. A new bill aims to give the Supreme Court authority to provide around-the-clock protection to potentially endangered justices.
We have to keep this going.
Jen Psaki plainly stated that White House officials hope the final Roe v. Wade opinion does not look like the one that was leaked. And that means that White House officials share a goal with pro-abortion activists. The U.S. Code, Title 18, Section 1507, you find a clear explanation. It's illegal to picket or parade in or near a building occupied by a judge, juror, or witness if your hope is to influence them, and that is punishable by up to a year in prison or a $5,000 fine.
We have to keep this going.
These activists posted a map with the home addresses of the Supreme Court justices. Is that the kind of thing this president wants to help your side make their point?
Look, I think the president's view is that there's a lot of passion, a lot of fear, a lot of sadness from many, many people across this country about what they saw in that leaked document.
Won't even denounce protesting outside Supreme Court Justice's house. You're going to say there's not a revolution we're fighting back against? California Assembly Bill 2223, man, you got to fight back against this one. Jonathan Keller, California Family Council, he's in next.